Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to the Bhaktisanga Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Jayanand Gauranga Das Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam Antalila 16.116 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Danvat Panam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving your very valuable time and association to us. You can please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाघया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुभे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुथापदकमलं श्रीयुत गुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादा सहगण ललितश्रीविशाखावितांश्च नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपतक स्वामिनिति नामिने नमाचार्यपादाय निताय कृपप्रदायिने गौरकथाधामदाय नगरग्रामतारिणे नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंदम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Offer my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas assembled in this call. वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यो च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. So, reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I will cover two texts today, Antyalila 16.116 and 117. Text 116, प्रेमावेशे महाप्रभुयवे आज्ञदिला रामानंदराय श्लोक पढ़िते लागिला. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Rai to recite some verses. Thus, Ramananda Rai spoke as follows. In the next verse. Suratavardhanam shokanashanam svaritabhenuna shushtuchumbitham itara ragavis maranam dhanam vitarabiranas te dharamritham. So this is a verse from Gopi Gita, and I will stop with this verse, and this verse is sufficient for a whole discussion. And so this verse, the translation here is, O hero of charity, please deliver unto us the nectar of your lips. That nectar increases lusty desires for enjoyment and diminishes lamentation in the material world. Kindly give us the nectar of your lips, which are touched by your transcendentally vibrating flute. For that nectar makes all human beings forget all other attachments. And this is coming directly from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 31st chapter, that is the Gopi Gita, the song in separation, verse 14. And so let's start with the discussion. Okay, here is a. Is it the. Yeah, so we can close this page, Mataji. Thank you. That's good. Is there a purport for this? No, this is the Bhagavatam purport. That's what I thought. Okay, let's close this thing, Mataji. Thank you. Okay, so specifically, in this verse, which is directly coming from the Gopi Gita, Surata Vardhanam Shokanashanam Swarita Bhernuna Sushtu Chumbitam, Itara raga vismaranam radhanam vitara viranas tedha amratam. So this is Gopi Gita. There are only few verses in it. It's not very extensive in length, and it has been very much praised by scholars in Sanskrit for the poetic meter of the verses, as it looks extraordinarily beautiful. And for most part, some of the examples are given by Prabhupada in Bhagavatam, in his purports, where he has said that how in each line, the first and the seventh syllable, they always begin with the same consonant. And so do the second syllables of all the four lines. They are all same. So in this way, there is so much poetic information in these verses spoken by the gopis of Vrindavan. And the translation is a little different in the Bhagavatam compared to this, but the substance is still the same. So it's the same verse, but Prabhupada gives a different translation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and a different one in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And because the gopis had dedicated their minds and their very lives to Krishna, they were beside themselves with the transcendental pain of separation. So this verse has been spoken in the mood of separation from Krishna and in the transcendental pain. But their crying, which appears like evidence of misery, actually shows their exalted state of transcendental bliss. So even though it looks like they are suffering, even though it looks like they are in pain, they are actually experiencing transcendental bliss. So that's the key point here. So that means, like, what can we learn from that part? So whenever one sees a Vaishnava acting unhappy, when a pure devotee is acting unhappy, one should know it for sure that that pure devotee of Krishna is actually experiencing the highest spiritual bliss. Thus, each of the gopis began addressing Krishna. So they begin in this Gopi Gita, they address Krishna according to their individual mode of ecstasy. So, and they all prayed for him for his mercy. So externally, it might look for that as though the Vaishnava is suffering and then Krishna is putting them in different difficult situations. But internally, that Vaishnava devotee is actually very happy and experiencing the highest bliss. We have seen this. So as the pastimes of Krishna, they spontaneously arise in the minds of the gopis, and they sing these verses in the Gopi Gita. And it just relieves them of all the agony of suffering from the burning pain of separation. So in their case, there is no material suffering. It's a burning pain of separation from Krishna. And that burning pain of separation from Krishna itself is all auspicious. Sarvamangalam. All auspicious is that burning pain of separation from Krishna. It provides supreme auspiciousness. In fact, the auspiciousness itself stems from the lotus feet of Krishna. And the Bhagavatam in the fourth canto describes how from the toenails of Krishna, all the auspiciousness radiates. And hence, if one is able to fix themselves in the toenails of Krishna, all the auspiciousness stems from it. And that is the definition of auspiciousness. The definition of auspiciousness is stemming from Krishna's lotus feet. And here, the gopis of the Vrindavan, they are suffering this burning pain of separation from Krishna. And this in turn bestows supreme auspiciousness among them. So before they, when Krishna first entered the arena, before they got set, the Krishna disappeared from the arena, you know, the Bhagavatam gives a very nice description of how Krishna enters and enters into the arena in Vrindavan. The Bhagavatam, say a couple of chapters before this, in the Bhagavatam, it says, Barha Pidam. Natavara Bapuhu Karnayo Karnikara Bibhrad Vasaha Tanaka Kapisham Vaijayantim Chamalam Randran Venor Adarasuvaya Puryan Gopavrinte Vrindaranyam Swapadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirtihi. So this is a verse, it's a famous verse, which tells about how Krishna enters the arena in Vrindavan as the gopis look at Krishna. And he says, Barha Pidam. Barha means peacock feather. Pidam, that is like the decoration. So on his head, there is a peacock feather. So Barha Pidam. And then Natavar means he's the greatest of all dancers. Okay, Natavar. Karnayo Karnikaram. So Karnayo means on the ears. Krishna has this blue lotus-like flower, Karnikaram. Karnika flowers, blue lotus-like flowers. Vasaha, Vasa Kanaka Kapisham. So he's wearing a yellow garment, which is Kanaka means golden, which is as brilliant as gold. Vaijayanti Chamalam. And he's having these forest flowers. Vaijayanti Mala, it has a distinct five different kinds of forest flowers, which are specific. There are specific names for those flowers and they have specific colors. And Krishna wears that garland. But in general, the garland that Krishna wears is by definition called the Vaijayanti. But Vaijayanti has a specific, there are specific flowers, five different forest colors, five forest flowers, and each of them have different colors, and each of them have a certain reason and how they decorate the Krishna's. So the gopis think about these amazing ways by which Krishna enters. So this is wearing a peacock feather ornament on his head, on Krishna's head, and he has blue karnika flowers on his ears, which is some kind of a lotus kind of a flower, a yellow garment, and it is brilliant as gold, and he's having this Vaijayanti garland. So Krishna exhibits this transcendental form as he enters as the greatest of the dancers, Natavara Vapu. So as the greatest of the dancers, he enters into the forest of Vrindavan. So and then in this particular verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it talks about how when Krishna disappears from it, how the gopis describe it. So he first enters into the forest of Vrindavan, and then he beautifies it with the marks of its footprints. He beautifies it with the marks of its footprints. It's very unique to Vrindavan. And it's very unique to Vrindavan because Krishna is so amazing that he puts his footprint all over Vrindavan. Whereas in the Vaikuntha planets, such a footprint is not there because there Lord Narayana, of course, Goloka is still part of the Vaikuntha, but in outside the Goloka, you know, Lord Narayana, he wears footwear. So it's not like his footprints are going to be. This is according to Jiva Goswami. And so whenever we see in scriptures that footprints are marked on the ground, it refers to Krishna because Krishna's that's how Krishna is in Goloka Vrindavan. So he filled, and then Krishna fills the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. The reason I took this verse is because the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita we just saw from the Gopi Gita also talks about the nectar of Krishna's lips. And that was after Krishna left the arena, the forest arena, after he left the gopis. And even before he, as he entered the forest also, this verse, Barha Pidam, Natavara Vapuhu, Karnayo Karmikaram, this verse again describes the nectar of Krishna's lips. And the cow and how the cowherd boys sang his glories, you know. So the ecstatic sentiments. So these verses in the Gopi Gita, they describe the ecstatic sentiments for Lord Krishna that the gopis express. And so externally, it might just appear like symptoms of lust, but in reality, they are just manifestations of the pure desire to satisfy the Supreme Lord's spiritual senses. Hrishikesha is the name of the spiritual senses, and his senses are being satisfied. And there is not even a trace of lust in the moods of the gopis. So the gopis even start this song with very nice verse. And Jayatite Edikam Janmana Vrajaha Shayata Indira Shashwadatrahi. Very famous set of verses in the Gopi Gita. That's how it starts. Jayati Thedikam Janmana Vrajaha Shrayata Indira Shashwadatrahi. The Gopis say that they address Krishna as their beloved, and how his appearance or birth in the land of Vraja, Janmana Vrajaha. The word Ja means birth, janmana, vrajaha, has made it exceedingly glorious. And even the goddess of fortune, who is called Indra, always resides there. So wherever there is Krishna, tatra Shri Vajayo Bhutir. So there Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, there is Shri or Mahalakshmi. And so here it says Indra. Indra is the goddess of fortune. So in the age of Kali, by default, everybody is unfortunate. The reason why everybody is unfortunate is because the goddess of fortune does not reside. Okay. And the reason why goddess of fortune is not residing in by and large in many places in, you know, in pretty much in everybody's most places in Kali is because of lack of Krishna consciousness. So, but the fact that Krishna has taken appearance in this Vraja, in the Vraja Bhumi, has made it very glorious. And that's, and therefore, because Krishna is there, Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides there. And it is only for, the gopis say that it's only for Krishna's sake, okay, that his devoted servants, they maintain their lives, okay? Otherwise, there is no point in even living. The only reason why they even live is for Krishna's sake. And the gopis have been searching for him everywhere. So they, and they're asking him, please show himself to them. You know, they're asking them, Tvai drishtha savas, tvam vichin pate. So they are saying, can you please show yourself to us? Because the Krishna has left that arena, and there is not even a point in maintaining one's life but for Krishna, and therefore, and they're searching for him, Krishna, everywhere, and please show themselves. So in this way, the Gopi Gita is a very nice set of verses. There are many, many nice verses that are spoken like this by the gopis that show the level of pure devotion which is there, which is exalted, and very nice to hear. And this itself is will take care of all the sufferings in this material world. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. Tava kathamritam. So these activities, katha is store, the activities amritam, the nectarian activities. The nectarian activities of Krishna itself is one's life and soul. Tapta jivanam. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. So kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham. So this, the nectar of Krishna's words and any description of his activities, tava kathamritam. So the nectar of his activities is the life and soul of all those who are suffering in this material world. So even great sages, they yearn to hear. So one might say that they are self-realized. They are already situated in Brahman platform, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Na sochati na kankshati. They are not anxious. They are not suffering. But even for those who are in the platform of self-realization, tava kathamritam, the nectarian activities of Krishna, they bestow this auspiciousness and relieve one of all the sufferings in the material world. It doesn't mean that the attack of the material world is going to go away, but they just don't feel the suffering because they are already immersed in what? They're immersed in the nectarian activities of Krishna. That even though all these suffering, even though the material world is inflicting the suffering, they are unmindful of those suffering, and the suffering is there, but they are not conscious of it. Instead, they are conscious of Krishna. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. And many sages, Atma Rama, those who are self-satisfied, nirgrantapi urukrame. Urukrama is very highly attractive. Urukrama Hari. The Hari is highly attractive. Even such self-satisfied Atma Rama Munayo. Who is self-satisfied? A Muni is self-satisfied. Nirgrantapi hurukrame. So at the beautiful, high, very attractive Hari, even such self-satisfied souls, they are automatically, they move towards them. So this verse is a very important verse, actually. Atma Rama Munayo Nirgrantapi hurukrame. Because the reason why it's important is, it tells us that self-realization is not sufficient in terms of the spiritual progress, because self-realization is a step towards the next step. And what is the next step is what this verse is saying. Nirgrantapi urukrame ahaitukim bhaktim. So this, that spontaneous devotion to Krishna will spring afterwards, not That's not the so self-realization leads to God realization. So, and these narrations of Krishna, when they are broadcast all over the world, Shravana Mangalam, Srimadathatam. So when they're broadcast all over the world, they're filled with power. Shravana Mangalam. Mangalam is all auspiciousness. Okay, Shravana, when we hear, okay, all these auspiciousness, certainly those who spread this message of Godhead are the most munificent. So Bhuvi Grananti, Bhuvi, this world, Bhuvi Grananti e Bhuridha Jana. So that means that they are very munificent. Bhurida, Bhurida Jana, Bhuri. They are very, very munificent, such people. Jana, Jana means people. So such a very munificent people who are spreading this message of Krishna consciousness. And why they are so Bhurida? So why they are so munificent? Namo Maha Badanyaya. So the word Badanyaya means that somebody is very, very munificent. So when is somebody called munificent? Somebody is called munificent when they are giving things in charity, when they sacrifice. So that is a way to show love in this world, is to sacrifice. According to the Bhagavad Gita, in third chapter, you have to sacrifice yajna. So you have to satisfy by yajna, sacrifice. And when anybody sacrifices something, at that time they feel that's a way to show love. And so what is the most important way to show generosity? So is it by building hospitals? Is it by building this? All these are good activities that needs to be done. And but the most important out of all these activities is to spread the message of Godhead. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami says, Namo Mahavadanyaya, because he's the most munificent. Everybody is munificent in terms of to the level to which they are generous to the level to which they are doing service to the humanity. But Mahavadanyaya, because Krishna Prema Pradayate, because he's able to spread the message of Godhead. Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya Namini, and even more merciful than Krishna himself, because even Krishna he has put conditions in this, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted one and all, and one and all he has accepted, because with all the conditions, you know, hardly anybody is going to surrender in this Kali. And therefore, Mahavadanya Krishna Prema Pradayati, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namini Gauratushi. So the gopis, you can see the exalted nature of these prayers. And this is actually a verse, Tava Kathamritam, Tapta Jivam, is a verse actually even spoken by King Prataparudra. It comes in the Madhya Leela in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he narrates this during the Jagannath Rath Yatra, when at that time in a garden, Mahaprabhu rests there. At that time, King Prataparudra recites this verse, and then it gives immense pleasure to Mahaprabhu to hear this verse, Tava Kathamritam, Tapta Jivanam. And to how the activities of Krishna are extremely, extremely pleasing to pleasing, and not only just pleasing, but it's just like it's the life and soul, tapta jivanam, life and soul, and for all those who are suffering in this material world. So, so this verse also talks about lust, and so we will distinguish here now what is the difference between lust and love. So lust originates from, what is the origin of lust? It originates from fundamental ignorance. Ignorance, avidya, of one's own identity. Okay, the word avidya is the opposite of what is described as the, what needs to be known by a devotee. Okay, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is a repository of all knowledge. Vairagya vidya nijabhakti yoga shikshartamekaha purushaha puranaha shri krishna chaitanya sharirhadhari kripam budhihi tamaham prapadhye. So in this way, the avidya itself is the, or the ignorance is itself the cause of the origination of lust. But in contrast, true love begins with a clear understanding of one's spiritual identity. So who is, by identifying oneself as, what is one's identity? The identity of one as a separated part and parcel of the all-attractive human being, Krishna. Krishna is the primary name, even though he has Nam Namakari Bhavadani Nija Sharva Shakti. He has many, many names, but the primary name is Krishna. And he's known by so many names, Madhava, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna. He's known by so many names. He's known and Narayana. And but the primary name is Krishna, and it's all attractive being, and that we are the separated part and parcel of Krishna. And in our pure state of all contaminations, cheto darpana varchanam. So after we have removed all the contamination, the dust surrounding our heart, and in that pure state, we can innately love Krishna. That is our innate response, is to love Krishna and delight in that eternal love. And that is only possible in that pure state. So we need to first cleanse the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. And how do we do that? Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So by chanting the names of all glories to this Sri Krishna Sankirtan, by which we can cleanse our heart. And every day that's what we're doing, marjanam. So we are doing, we are cleansing the dust, and which is accumulating, which is accumulated birth after birth for millions and millions of birth that is accumulated. There's just so much dust that it's impossible to remove by any other means right now. So when Krishna, and he is the source and the pivot of all love, is the center of our heart and life. And we naturally love all beings because everybody is part and parcel of Krishna. So we naturally love all beings. And the reason we're not able to do that is because of the dust accumulated for millions and millions of birth. And we see everybody as beloved children of the Lord. And when our relationships are thus divinely centered, then we can relish and share the true love. So how do we do this? How do we do all this? So how do we get to that state? So there are things that are said. So mainly there are two things here. One is when we come in touch with saints, okay? Shuddha Bhakta, okay? Shuddha Bhakta, the pure devotee. So who have already transformed this so-called lust into love. And we recognize, and that will be our remedy for this natural predicament. For this, our natural predicament, that is the goal. So when we, somehow or the other, if we come in association of this pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta, they are like the touchstone, Chintamani. So Shuddha Bhakta, Chintamani, meditatively. And then the second thing we need to do is to meditatively chant the holy names. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So this holy name, Krishna's name, is full of rasa, and meditatively chanting on the holy names. And therefore, that immediately connects us with Krishna, who is love personified, and he awakens that Krishna Nama, which is non-different. So when we chant the name of the Maha Mantra, we need to be very careful from flippant chanting, not just the 10 offenses of equating Krishna to the demigods. All those kind of things are basic. But then the last one is very important about flippant chanting and inattentive chanting. So that is an exclusive way, by exclusive time for Krishna. And we need to slowly make ourselves, because otherwise, what is the point in doing all this? We are doing an exercise. 1.5 hours, okay, of course, even unknowingly doing all these mistakes, Krishna is still okay with all those things, okay, eventually hoping that our chanting will reform and refine over course of time. But the best is to hear, there is no mind and all in this. So you say the word Hare, there are only three words there, Hare, Krishna and Rama. And these three words, and we attentively listen. So we say and we listen, we say and we listen. So the spirit, and eventually the spiritual mouth will speak and the spiritual ears will hear, because the word Krishna does not come from this material world. The word Krishna is not a Sanskrit word. It is not like it is coming from some kind of a material language, which is Sanskrit or Greek or something like that. But the word Krishna comes from the spiritual world, and the word Krishna cannot even be heard by the material ears. But when the material ears transforms into spiritual ears, the spiritual word Krishna directly stems from Goloka Braja, and then it enters into the spiritual ears. And hence, so we need to, every syllable, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. So every word we carefully say and hear, and slowly with practice, we can take the subtle body mind out of it. The mind needs to be taken out, because mind has no, there is no mind in, you know, you have the gross body, you have the subtle body, and then you have the spirit soul. So here the interaction is between the spirit soul and Krishna. So there is no gross body or the subtle body. So there is no mind. So the mind needs to stop thinking. And all we need, so Prabhupada simply says, you say and you hear, and there is no mind and what. It just looks very easy to say that, but it is very, in practice, it is very hard to get the mind out. The subtle body is so strong that in practice, it is very hard. But the more we stop the usage of mind, at least for at least a few times during the 16 minimum rounds that we chant, the beneficial it is. So, but eventually, as the number of years progress, at least one or two rounds can be more, out of the 16 rounds, at least one round can be chanted with, chanted in that, that way Prabhupada says. And eventually the goal is to have every name of Krishna chanted with, without the involvement of, the subtle body. And so we say, we hear, and then, and when we do this, and there are so many levels there in chanting. So first, there is a focus on the names of Krishna, okay, which is Nama. And then we, from there, we move on to the lotus feet of Krishna, the meditative chanting then moves the spiritual, then we spiritualize the intelligence, spiritualize the mind, everything, whatever. And then we chant on the chanting focus, the soul is focused now on the spiritual form of Krishna, the lotus feet, the spiritual form, and then the activities of Krishna. So it just progressively moves in this thing, even though there is no difference between the name, the activities, the form, there is no difference. But then it, one is able to get a glance of the pastimes of the Lord, which cannot come, it cannot come by the usage of mind, because the mind cannot say, okay, let's now today, today it's our chance. Now let's start focusing today on maybe some particular pastime. Oh yeah, there Krishna is moving towards the river Yamuna. Let's focus on that. That is mental speculation, and it is harmful too. So it is best not to use the mind. These things, what I'm saying is as one moves progressively from focusing on the name to the lotus feet, to the form and the activities, it comes in the path of progressive devotional service. It is not coming by artificially using mind to focus on some aspect of Krishna and thinking that, okay, we have just progressed all the way from as though Krishna is showing us his activities and so on. So we are not qualified for all that. So the other thing, so is one is meditatively chanting on the holy names, and the other is by saintly association. So saintly association, and then meditation on the names of Krishna. We can transform this lust into love, and this will help us reclaim our original life we have, and which is just filled with endless love for Krishna. So the other thing that we need to see here is how can we actually recognize that what we have is love for Krishna, or is it just some material lust and some perverted ideas that we have? So the love of the devotees for Krishna, and there are ways to test it. And the way to test it is to actually see how it is not shaken in any condition. Okay, so the love for the devotees, of the devotees for Krishna, is not shaken in any condition. Material circumstances cannot put impediments on it. So it is beyond. So we cannot say that just because the material circumstances are bad, and that is why today I don't feel very inspired, and love for Krishna has diminished today, because that is not how the devotees behave. So sometimes, sometimes devotees face trials and tribulations, and starting from the neophyte devotees all the way for anybody in this material world, they all have tribulations. But as the devotees get more and more advanced, their love for Krishna does not waver, especially for a pure devotee, and it is a progression. So in the Mahabharata itself, we can see how the Pandavas, there is no, there's just so much of tribulations that they have faced. They have faced insults. They were sent to exile. They were put through so many difficulties. And then they had the war. And even in the war, they lost all their children. You see, they lost all their children. And at the most, all they got was a victory, some victory, which they could not even celebrate. They lost all the Draupadi Devi. She lost all her children. Abhimanyu was lost. Ghatotkacha was lost. Everybody was lost. So what is the happiness that they could have got even in that war? Nothing. But in spite of all this, their love for Krishna never wavered. So even in exile, when they were sent for that 13-year exile, you know, even at that time, Krishna came unannounced. And they approached, and when he approached the Pandavas at that time, in Arjuna saw him, he was immediately overwhelmed with ecstatic love. And this is there in the Mahabharata, in the Vanaparva. So you can see there how ecstatic love for Krishna just manifested when Krishna just showed up in the forest to talk to them. And at that time, even at that time, the love for Krishna did not waver for a moment. He did not think, oh, Krishna, we are suffering so much. And why is it, as the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, why are you making us suffer so much? Why are you allowing us to suffer? There was no complaint. And that love is called completely spontaneous. We may not be at that stage, but we should understand at least how the pure devotees behave. And the Bhagavatam is full of examples of these kind of tribulations faced by the devotees, and how in all these tribulations, pure devotees have reacted. And so that means that the devotees, they love Krishna without any material motive. So in fact, if there was some material motive, then it would not be classified as love. So it means like, you know, if somebody loves somebody else to get something from them, it is not called as pure love. At that time, the love transforms to lust. And so if somebody is thinking about their own desires and how to gratify their senses, then that is called lust. But pure love is causeless. Okay, pure love is costless, and it is never disturbed by any material affliction, however sad, happy the material situation puts us in, the not sad or happy, however difficult the material situation is, however afflicted, the Bhagavatam in the Uddhava Gita, there is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who is a very great commentator. We know him very famously as the spiritual master of Baladeva Vidyabhushana, who wrote the commentary for the Vedanta Sutra for us, and it is the Govinda Bhashya. And his spiritual master Vishwanatha Chakravarti, who also wrote the Guru Ashtakam. Yasya Prasado, Bhagavat Prasado, remember the Guru Ashtakam. So when he has written a commentary, extensive commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there in the Uddhava Gita, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur actually quotes many ways, people keep blaming that, this and all for so many things, for one's own suffering. You know, some people say that the suffering is due to their own past life activities, the past life activities of the karma, the never-ending karma is catching on. Some people say that, oh, because malefic planets in the horoscope are inflicting them, and that is maybe the sun planet is in the eighth house, which is a malefic house, and that is disturbing. And maybe it is just because some other living entity is giving me the suffering, or maybe God is giving me the suffering. So he lists like about eight different parameters of what all people can think of why they are being inflicted with suffering. And he finally concludes that none of this is really even the cause of suffering. The cause of suffering is the forgetfulness of Krishna. And that itself is the cause of suffering. Otherwise, there is no suffering. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. So there is no suffering at all. And so Sri Bhakti Vinoda Thakur, he also echoes a similar sentiments of Srimati Radharani. And then he says, Nagani Apana Dukkha. So that he does not, Apana Dukkha. So he does not even care about his own personal distress. All he wishes for, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that all he wishes for is the happiness of Krishna. So because Krishna's happiness is the goal of life. Krishna needs to be, how do I make Krishna happy? It's not like Krishna wants us to make him. He's already self-satisfied, supremely self-satisfied. And so, but if we endeavor in that direction, if Krishna feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness. It's very nice to hear this, but very hard to practice. It's very nice. So I'll say that again. So like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if Krishna feels happy to give me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness, because that's what Krishna wants. So whatever Krishna wants, that is the best for us. And such is, this is very nice. Actually, it's very pleasing to hear, actually, this to hear that how it is the best thing, but it's very hard to practice. Such as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's internal mood is also very similar to Radharani. Ashley Shiva, if you remember that, Ashley Shiva, Padaratan, Pinishtuma, Marmahatan, Karotava, Yatatatava, Vidato, Lampatu, Matprana, Natastu, Sayeva, Naparha. So even if whatever condition one is in, that Krishna is the most worshipable Lord. So a devotee only wants Krishna's happiness, so there is no separate. Okay, there's no selfish interest, and so can desire and work for Krishna's happiness in any situation. So whatever is the suffering, there is no material impediment, no condition, no material impediment can stop the chanting or the service to Krishna. So material impediments will be there. The suffering will be there. And the suffering will slowly not be, we won't be slowly conscious of it to the level to which we have progressed, but we need to tolerate it. The devotee will not look for a shelter. So, but if we are looking for a solving the problem, that is called looking for a shelter in this material world, the devotee does not look for that. He is not looking for solving the material problem. He's not looking to take shelter of the material world. And the devotee will tolerate the thunder and the lightning and all, whatever the problem is, and wait for Krishna's mercy. And finally, the nectarian drop of rain will flow. Okay. Until then, he tolerates all the thunder and lightning and caring for any of the material world, but he does not go and find a material solution to the material problem, because there is no material solution. Whatever is the material solution, that itself is another problem as well. So if we go from, there is a problem, material problem, we go from one problem to another problem, but there is no real material solution at all. But we go to other, we do things because that is what Krishna wants us to do. Not expecting that there will be relief from the material problem, because there is no relief from material problem. So Srimad Bhagavatam says, what does the Bhagavatam says? It says that when a devotee is put into difficulty, into distress, the person patiently suffers the reactions of his past activities. He patiently suffers it and expects the Lord's mercy and serves the Lord. Okay, he serves the Lord with body, with mind, with words. And if he passes his life in this way, he will earn the right to enter the kingdom of God. So that is our birthright, is to enter the kingdom of God. It's not like we have, he has earned it. We need to earn it. But that is our birthright, to enter the kingdom of God, to enter the Vaikuntha planetary system. A similar sentiment was actually shared by one of a Sri Vaishnava saint. His name is Nammarvar. He sings a famous verse in where he says Sur Visumb Animugil. So he says the same thing in that thing, that it is his birthright to enter the Vaikuntha planets. And he is freely entering his birthright because that is his home. That is the home of the Lord. And it is his birthright to enter into the Vaikuntha planetary system. And so the Vaishnavas across, they may be different in terms of the rasas and so on, but the philosophy is by and large the same. And their experiences are all exalted. So this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, it should guide all the devotees in general. A devotee should not, so the basic thing what we learn from it is that the devotee should not expect immediate relief from reactions of his past misdeeds. So we just sincerely pray to Krishna and then magically everything disappears. That is not something one we need to, that we cannot, we should not expect. We don't have the right for all that. We don't have the right to ask Krishna for relief. We don't have the right to get rid of the sufferings. We don't have the right for period anything. The only right we have is to pray to Krishna. And that the right to pray to Krishna has been given to us in all circumstances. Even if there is somebody facing death penalty or any kind of things, even in the most difficult situation, that right cannot be taken away. That is the that is the right which Krishna has given. That right is that we can pray to Krishna in all circumstances. And the right to pray will never go away in whatever hellish, even if we go to the lower planetary systems in Patal Loka, innumerable sufferings, But even then, the right to pray to Krishna, all times bandhanam, we can always pray to Krishna with folded hands about, and that right is always there with us. And no conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences. So that means that whenever we have all these reactions that we are exhibiting, all the sufferings, no conditioned soul in any material world is free from this. And so, and all the souls will continue to suffer for all their past activities in the previous lives. So if one has finished the material activities, then there is no birth. So, and that is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, which does not produce reactions. So we need to do activities that does not produce reactions. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activities, okay, then one stops taking birth. So a devotee who is not perfectly free from these resultant activities should continue to act in Krishna consciousness. So even though there are so many impediments in this process, one should continue to keep progressing in this. And when any material impediments arise, one should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. So that is the only solace. So there is no other solace. So that is the true solace, is that we need to simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. And if the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. So by such activities, okay, the exact word in Bhagavatam is daya bhak. Daya bhak means it refers to a child or a son, he is a lawful inheritor of the property of the father. And here, what is the property of the father? It is the father's home, which is Vaikuntha, which is the lawful inheritance of all his children. So we lawfully inherit. So that is the same sentiment I told you also about the Sri Vaishnava saint, Nammarvar, who said, Survisum Animugil Turiyam Murakina. So he carries the same sentiment that it is our rightful inheritance is our Vaikuntha, not this material world. Vaikuntha is our rightful inheritance. In a similar way, a pure devotee will undergo all tribulations in executing our Krishna conscious duties. And then they become lawfully qualified to enter into the abode of the Lord. So as Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada actually writes in this, that the devotee accepts all miseries. The devotee accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself actually worthy of more trouble than actually due to his past misdeeds. So whatever we are getting is only a fraction of what we actually should have got. We should have got far more. Okay, so if somebody is getting a lot of trouble, then actually the person deserves a lot more, and Krishna has already diminished it quite a bit. Okay, so, and he sees that his miseries by the grace of the Lord are actually minimized to the lowest of what he can examine. So experience. So that means, like, let's say that somebody is going through a very difficult time period in their horoscope or something, and then, but even though very stringent punishments could be inflicted due to the planetary positions, Krishna has already reduced that, minimized that suffering to the lowest, and even that suffering. So that's how a devotee should think and practice. And similarly, when there is happiness, he does not take this as some kind of because of his past activities, but he gives all the credit to the Lord and thinks himself or herself as unworthy of happiness. Unworthy of happiness. And it's only because of the Lord. And he uses also that comfortable condition for better service of the Lord. So Krishna's supreme quality. So, and Krishna has a natural affection towards his devotees. That is why Krishna is called Bhakta Vatsala. The Vatsala comes from the word Vatsalya. Vatsa itself means calf or a dear child. Okay, so the cows are so affectionate. So they are, they're calves. So they're very affectionate and caring to their calves. Okay, Vatsalya. So that's where the word Vatsalya comes. And the same way, Krishna is very loving. So that's why he's called Bhakta Vatsala. So very caring towards his devotees. And so people might just wonder why, if he's so caring, why is he putting us into all this suffering? And that's where the misery suffered is by a sincere devotee. Okay, so I'm not even talking about a pure devotee here. A sincere devotee is not just technically a karmic reaction. Rather, it is a Lord's special mercy. Lord's special mercy for inducing that person to let go the material world and return to the kingdom of God. And therefore, the devotee completely cleansed, cheto darpana, so completely cleanses his heart and becomes fully absorbed in the loving service of Krishna. And at the end of this exercise, he returns to the Lord. So the devotee's deepest desire is to attain the Lord's association and loving service. So in this way, we can transform and purify the lust into the original pure love. So that is the basis of this verse here, stated from the Gopi Gita, and very nice verse that we discussed today, Suratavardhanam Shokanashanam. Swarita Bhenuna Sushtu Chumbitam Itara Ragavismaranam Ranam Vitara Viranas Tedhara Amritam Amritam Adhara Amritam. So from the nectarian lips, Adhara is lips, and Amritam nectar Adhara Amritam. So we will stop here. It's almost 50 minutes, and we will use the next 10 minutes for some discussion. And thank you so much for this opportunity to share this amazing verse spoken by Sri Ramananda Raya to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and citing from Srimad Bhagavatam, the Gopi Gita. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful, wonderful class, explaining so neatly how we should have the Krishna Prema and the Bhakti, and even this material, how we have to be in a calm way, and explaining how we have to enter the abode of Vaikuntha with so many examples, and Krishna is a Bhaktavatsala. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a neatly explaining so nicely. I request devotees, if anybody have any questions or comments to Prabhuji, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. I really like the points that you are sharing about the chanting. So after like 16 rounds of chanting, only one or two rounds comes up to be the perfect, or that too after a long time. So sometimes even I feel that today's chanting is not effective. I feel so dull. Why the chanting was like, sometimes it takes too long time, sometimes too less time. I feel like, did I miss any beat? Did I concentrate? So how to overcome this? Like, how do I come out of this problem, Prabhuji? Can you explain?
So, Mataji, there is this book called as Art of Chanting or something like that. And it's written by Bhurijana Das, Bhurijana Prabhu. And it's a good book. And it gives many techniques, actually, for chanting. And that's one thing, and then there is another book also on chanting. And that is a little advanced, and I personally liked it very much. And it is by, he's in Vrindavan, blanking out on the name. It is also on the Art of Chanting. And so there are some books like this, which are giving techniques for chanting, and very nice books. And But Prabhupada has given very simple methods for chanting. And that simple method, I am trying very hard for many years. I've been chanting now for 25 years. And it sounds simple, but it is hard. So Prabhupada, very easily, actually, he says, there is no mind in the chanting process. He very easily says that there is no mind. All you have to do is say and hear. And but if we follow that one technique, it will refine the chanting very much. So that one technique is sufficient for the chanting process. Prabhupada is so intelligent and wise that he gives that one technique, even though he easily mentions that there is no mind. You just say and you hear. So there are different methods different devotees are following. One is to do it in the association of devotees, but it depends on the person as well. But some devotees do it in total silence that they need for that kind of a focus. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did that kind of a chanting where he had, he covered every hole in a hut or something near in Navadvip. And he, with absolute silence, he chanted with that focus. And Rupa Goswami, and these are not things that one needs to imitate, but Rupa Goswami, I'm just telling about how pure devotees do. And Rupa Goswami, he went under in a cave underneath, like several feet under, with all no disturbance at all. And with that focus, he chanted. But this is the way pure devotees. But generally, what is beneficial is to do it in association of devotees. And we have to be careful there also, you know, with the, you know, sometimes you just have to slowly see what works the best. And generally, association of devotees always helps to chant in that. And but one should be able to hear carefully what one chants. So when we say Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, every word, every syllable we hear carefully, and we slowly increase the number of times, not even rounds, number of times we're able to carefully say. Because we know that have we ever recited even once the Mahamantra or even the name Krishna, have we recited it once in a pure way? We would know that. And what is the answer to that? The answer to that is even the name Krishna is narrated once purely, every karma that we have, even a prarabdha, all the karma are destroyed with one name Krishna. And the second time we narrate the name Krishna purely, the love of Godhead springs. So that means that if we have not narrated the name Krishna purely even once, then we know, because if we are suffering from material reactions, that means that we have not uttered it even once. So it is not a question of even doing it for a certain number of rounds, but first, we need to start with that. Even one time out of the 16 rounds, out of each round 108 times, can we at least start with one line we can completely focus? So eventually we can increase this to 2, 10, one whole round, two rounds. And then, but before this, before our life air passes, we need to be able to think of Krishna continuously, and that is the goal. But it might look very an overstretching goal and sort of impossible. Maybe when somebody first started chanting, maybe even chanting 16 rounds was formidable, but then chanting 16 rounds becomes possible, and then it becomes maybe we're able to chant within a short period of time. But then how much of that is qualitatively effective? So chanting is very important, because that is the sacrifice that we're doing. So in this age of Kali, chanting is the method. And Kalau Sankirtanam Keshavam. So in this, so we do need to chant. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself chanted Japa. The word Japa is used in Chaitanya Charitamrita. A certain number of rounds he chanted. And we have extensive examples even from Haridas Thakur and how he chanted. And but one should not be one should not be very sad that they're not able to make the standard, that one is not able to chant, because Krishna will fill that gap. To whatever extent we are putting the effort, Krishna will fill the large amount of gap. So no matter what effort we do, it is ultimately the mercy of Krishna that is going to fill the gap, not our endeavors. Our endeavors are about our intention, and the purity of our intention matters, but Krishna will provide the circumstances, and he will provide the elevation, and he will lift us. We need to endeavor and endeavor with all sincerity, but we should remember that almost all the effort is actually put by Krishna to lift us out of the material realm and put us in the spiritual world. Our effort, if we measure it, it is actually very minimal. Hope that gives confidence to, you know, all of our devotees, that even though whom we may think that it's our effort is, we may be very sad that we are not able to put the effort, but our sincerity will be rewarded by the mercy of Krishna, and for that mercy we pray. Thank you, Mataji. Hope it answers the question. Hare Krishna. I think I remember the other book also. His name is Mahanidhi Swami. He has written a very nice book on chanting holy names. It's very extensive, very extensive, very beautiful book. I just remembered it. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for beautiful life. And I really, the point of Krishna is the Bhakta Vashtala, that you know, he always make sure that we get reduced of the punishment. We should be completely faithful and Krishna and try to serve him in any condition that we are. Thank you.
We don't even need to feel sad for ourselves, Mataji, that we are facing so many material situations, because everybody is facing that. Everybody is in a miserable position. So we just, most people don't say what is the suffering they're undergoing. Everybody in the conditioned world is suffering. So that's a default. So we don't even need to feel envious that somebody else is happy, because by default, everybody is suffering. So
true, Prabhuji, so true. Always we think that my problem is a big problem, but everybody has a problem. So true, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for beautiful answer. So I request any other devotees have any other questions, you can please go ahead. Or if you have any other realizations also, you can please share. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Nobody has. Yes, Vrinda Mataji, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Sisi Gopi Gita Ki Jai. So nicely you explained that this, because of karmic account, all these are coming and going. But we stand our land attentively, Prabhuji. Hari Hari Gauranga. Sometimes, our dear Vrinda's mother told that it is not attentively, but whenever we hear attentively Shishi Bhagavatam, Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrit, maybe by practice it's come attentively, Mama, Prabhuji. All the points are so, so inspiring, Prabhuji. Ananta Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Shishi Gopi Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you for your realization.
Thank you, Mataji, for sharing your realization. Okay, devotees, if nobody have any other questions, we can end the call here. It's pure obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees in the call. Vansha Kalpatarupyasya Krupa Sindhubhyai Vacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavindu Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Gauranga Darshan Prabhuji Ki
Jai Gauranga Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.